It is a common refrain. Parents concerned their teens are taking too long to grow up. Never want to leave home. It's not merely that the kids are taking too long, but they're taking longer than in the past. Things are different today. In the Institute of Marriage and Family Canada, they've put together a list of these lifestyle changes. And the major difference is that more and more young adults are deciding to live with their significant others before marriage. So, I mean, one of the questions that comes up is, I mean, a lot of people want the kids to sort of get on with their lives, leave the home, have a career, get married, have a family, give your grandkids and all the rest of it. Well, on the other hand, do you want them to leave home if leaving home means they're going to be living common law with someone as opposed to getting married? So this is the old common law versus marriage conversation, but through a completely different door. And through a different lens. I want to get to Derek Medema on for just a few moments. Derek Medema is the researcher of the Institute of Family and Marriage Canada. And Derek, thank you very much for doing this. Are you there, Derek?
I am.
Derek, just want to get you right into the crux of the matter here.
Mm-hmm.
What is your research telling you on how parents feel about their kids moving out of the house if it's moving out to live common law as opposed to getting married in the more conventional way? Do you have anything on that?
No, the purpose of this paper and the research I looked at the paper looked at the stats in terms of how stable cohabiting relationships are compared to marriage, and looked at that in terms of the transition to adulthood, but we didn't look at how parents feel. We just looked at what's happening on the ground.
All right, well, let me just get back to basics then. What are your stats telling you on when young people are leaving the house today as compared to what it was like back in the 70s? Because I think that's your benchmark.
Well, two benchmarks. If we look back to the 70s, they're leaving later. And if we look back to the early 1900s, they're leaving at about the same time compared to adolescents then. So if you're looking at someone born between 1966 and 1970, they left between 21 and 23 for women and men. In 2006, we have different stats, but over half of 20 to 24-year-olds lived with their parents. And I think we're looking at about 30% of males 25 to 29 still living with their parents.
Okay, that's at the age of 24, about a third of them are still living with their parents.
Yeah, so we are looking at, I mean, it's not an absolute comparison. We know an age for the 70s, we know a percentage for the present day, but clearly a lot more people are living with their parents into their 20s and into their early and mid-20s.
Okay, is this economics? Is it because it's expensive getting a place to live? Is it because jobs are tougher? You tell me.
Well, I think it all spins together. I think it is harder to get a job from a couple of perspectives. The job market has shifted from mainly blue collar to mainly white collar. So you're going to require more education to get a job. In the 1990s, a lot of companies started to go to contract work for young employees, and that means you need more experience. So it's harder to get a job. More jobs require more education, so that also figures into leaving home later. And undoubtedly, you know, economics figure in as well. All these things kind of dovetail together.
Now, you're going all the way back to the 1900s, and very few of us can remember that. But I imagine, people left at a relatively young age, but they almost always got married in their early 20s back then, or am I wrong about that?
Well, actually, people people born 1910 to 1915 left around 25 years old for men and 22 years for women. So they left about the same time as people are today. And in terms of marriage, it's the same idea. The age at which half the people got married earlier, half later, was 28.9 for males and 25.2 for women for people born 1910 to 1915. That's the interesting part. If we look to back to the 70s, kids today are taking a lot longer. If we look back to the early 20th century, they're not taking, you know, they're taking about as long as their, you know, great-great-grandparents did.
So that's interesting. I mean, that's an interesting piece of history because I think most people assume that turn of the century, that century, the 1900s, that most people assume that people were getting married at a very, very young age.
No, in fact, that median age at first marriage, half earlier, half later, 28.9 for males, 25.2 for women, for people born between 1910 and 1915. And we're back in 2006 to 24 for women and 27 for males. So they're actually, you know, getting married earlier than people did in the early 20th century.
Okay, so as far as leaving home and getting married versus common law, when did the big shift take place from marriage to common law?
Well, we know, for example, when we're looking at first relationships of women, in the early 1970s for Canada outside of Quebec, 85% of first relationships were marriage and only 15 were cohabiting. And by the early 1990s, the percentages were 50-50. So between the early 70s and the 1990s, there was a huge shift.
Okay, and when you say outside of Quebec, why are you mentioning Quebec?
Well, because Quebec is unique in and of itself. In Quebec, the numbers are that in the early 70s, in terms of first unions again, 80% were marriage, 20% were cohabitation. And by the early 90s, it was switched on its head, 20% marriage and 80% cohabitation.
Okay, so cohabitation in Quebec is now firmly ensconced in majority, we'll call it mainstream territory. The mainstream lifestyle choice in Quebec is to live with someone for a while before getting married.
I think that's fair, yes.
And in the rest of Canada, it's...
We're looking at about 50-50 as of the 1990s.
All right, so it's just a matter of time based on the trends before the rest of Canada becomes a lot similar, very similar to what Quebec is right now, right?
Well, see, my concern here is that if it is moving that way, I think in a large part it's based on the idea that if you live together before you're married, you're helping out your relationship. Social science research, Statistics Canada, shows that it's just the opposite. If you live together before you're married, cohabiting relationships are almost twice as likely to break up as marriage relationships, and if you live together and then get married, it doesn't change that stat.
Okay, now, would Quebec be a good laboratory for you? Have you found a lot of social instability in Quebec and a lot of relationship breakups and marriage breakups because they started on the common law path as far as a mainstream lifestyle choice goes a long time ago?
Well, I'm looking at Canada as a whole, and I'm seeing that the same thing holds in terms of the nature of cohabiting relationships versus marriage. The same thing holds. The numbers are different between Quebec and the rest of Canada, but the same thing holds in terms of the nature of cohabiting relationships versus marriage.
Okay, but are you saying, and I'm not trying to put words in your mouth here, are you saying that living with someone before getting married is actually dangerous to the marriage, or would that be completely over the top and misreading your research?
No, that wouldn't be over the top. You're still looking at if you live together before you're married, your marriage relationship is still almost twice as likely to break down as someone who hasn't lives together before they were married.
Okay, let me just give you a real life example.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people live together for say a couple of years before getting married. That is very, very common. Are you telling me that living for a couple of years together before getting married is a greater threat to that relationship than just instantly getting married?
Well, I'm not looking at either living together or instantly getting married. People who don't live together can still have many years beforehand to get to know each other outside of living together.
Yeah.
The distinction is between people who choose to live together and people who don't. And I think one of the reasons the research points to, you can understand if a couple's living together, the guy's spending a lot more time at his girlfriend's house. He's brought his toothbrush over. They decide, well, it's expensive to pay two rents. We may as well save some money and move in together.
Right, right.
They haven't necessarily made an intentional choice to spend the rest of their lives together. They've decided it's cheaper to live together, and that's a totally different choice. To cohabit for that reason or to slide into the next stages of relationship.
Sure, no, I understand that, but I was just talking to someone just an hour ago, and I was asking her, you know, they're celebrating their anniversary. I was asking, well, how long have you and your husband been together? How long have you, you know, been married? And she said 28 years, and I just said, so you've been together for 28 years? She says, well, no, actually, we've been together for over 30 years, but we've been married for 28 years, and, you know, if we were to do a call out, which we'll do in just a few moments, and ask people to call out and call in, my guess is we'll be, you know, dealing with an avalanche of people saying, Chuck, we lived together for a year, lived together for 2 years. Now we've been, you know, married for 25 years. Mm-hmm. We got grandkids. You know, it's wonderful, blah, blah, blah. When you put out research like this, you fully expect that you'll get some pushback from a lot of people who are saying, wait a minute, statistically, you may have a case, but my life, our lives are perfectly fine, and the smartest thing we ever did was live together for a year or two.
Well, I mean, the reality from the data, it's not going to describe every cohabiting relationship, and I'm under no illusion that it will. But the reality is that if you're considering now whether to live together before you get married, or to wait until you get married to live together, you're going to have a better chance of having a long-lasting relationship and a stable relationship if you choose not to live together. That's not to say that people who make that choice can't possibly have a stable relationship. It's just to say you're bringing more difficulties into the relationship than you would if you'd waited.
Okay, I hate to play the odds like I would with a football game, but because of the nature of the discussion, I'm going to ask you to do that just before we exit from this segment. We'll take some calls in just a few moments, folks, so please be patient. But Derek Medima, researcher for the Institute of Marriage and Family Canada, what are the odds of having a stable relationship getting married as opposed to living together first?
Well, again, cohabiting relationships are almost twice as likely to break down. First relationships that are cohabiting relationships are almost twice as likely to break down as first relationships that are marriage.
2-1. All right. Derek, thank you very much for the research, as always.
Thank you very much.
Okay, Derek Medima is the researcher for the Institute of Marriage and Family Canada.